Everyone okay?
Yep, you're back now.
Okay, where do I need to go back to? Where did you?
We
Oh,
got to just asking us all to share our words of life and
okay,
death.
great. So just
So.
come off mute, and just let's brainstorm some words associated with life. Go for it.
Light.
Brilliant. Just go for it, everyone.
Freedom.
Abundance.
Joy.
Harmony.
Energy,
Vibrant.
vitality,
Yeah.
exuberance,
Brilliant.
hope,
Yeah.
movement,
Innocent.
love, joy, health, security,
peace,
victory.
Brilliant.
peace,
Productive.
peace, yeah.
Truth.
Contentment,
Yeah.
laughter,
Yeah.
everlasting.
Obedience.
Love.
Brilliant. Good. Okay.
Obedience, oneness, unity.
We're getting an idea. This is more than just the fact you're existing on the planet and you're not dead. This is about the realm of fullness and abundance, the manifestation of the
Hello.
kingdom. And we might just touch and looking at how wherever Jesus
Yeah.
goes, he is the river of life.
Yeah.
He is the manifestation of the river of life from Ezekiel 47 and then Revelation 20. And he manifests life in everything and everywhere he goes. And he comes into the realm of sin and death, and he manifests it. So what words came up with the realm of in the associated with this whole realm of sin and death? What, just go again, brainstorm.
Depression, darkness,
Depression.
Brilliant.
lack,
hopelessness,
pain, brokenness,
sadness, depression,
illness,
restlessness.
hate,
Yep. Grief.
loneliness,
Poverty of all sorts,
fatigue,
distractions, disobedience, discouragement,
yeah, competition,
rebellion.
Darkness,
yeah,
failure,
failure, yeah,
division,
decay, diminishment, withering. These are all the
torment,
language of this realm of lack and of diminishment and of decay. And you know, we get, and so, you know, the gospel says the wages of sin is death. So sin and death are always partners, and the demonic acts on the back of sin and death and locks systems into our cultures and our both family cultures, church cultures, and into national cultures. So the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So eternal life at its simplest is life without limit. It's not just a length of days. It's life without limit in every possible direction. And we are already inheritors now of this eternal, limitless life that is ours now because Christ is in us. And he, the limitless one, the one who is limitless in life, now dwells within us, and we're in union with him. So we are partakers of this life. Now, this is a brief overview, brief biblical overview. You know, it all starts back in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, which has all the major biblical themes already found in there. And in Genesis, we find that we have the tree of life. They can eat of that as much as they want. We have rivers. I didn't you know that there's a four rivers that come out of Eden. Now there are four rivers, and Eden was a mountain on a mountain. Okay, I got all this stuff. You can go and listen to the extraordinary, the Bible Project podcasts around Eden is really utterly eye-opening. I had a complete major upgrade on my understanding of Eden. Yet Eden was not the end game; it was the beginning game on the planet, positioned in the heart of the earth. And then Eden was meant to then spread throughout the rest of creation. And say overtake places where there was wilderness. So, and it was fed by water because wherever in the Old Testament, in the Middle East, wherever there's water, there's life, and without water, there's no life. So, water becomes a very powerful image both in Genesis as well as throughout the Old Testament, that the whole of the New Testament too. And of course, we've got the dynamic, eat of this and you will live, but if you eat of the other tree, you will die. You got life and death right there at the very beginning and the choices that they make. And so it sets the direction for humanity. And the question comes after they fall is how will humans live again? How will humans, how can Eden be restored on the planet when it's been so ruined? Deuteronomy 30 becomes a very high point when the covenant is established on Mount Sinai. And God says, I set before you today life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life that you and your children may live. And so we've got consistently this offer of life or death, death or life. And it's really our choice which we choose. And so Israel was always intended to be a people who manifested the life of God in the midst of the wilderness. And so the whole wilderness experience of the manna and the water coming out from the rock and God's provision was always the intention that God's life can flow in the middle of the wilderness and the wilderness can be restored. And so to that end, I think we then dive in. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. So if you got your Bibles, let's go look at Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, all these scriptures I'm just tapping in today are so worth time meditating, dwelling, dreaming, imagining, and actually, as we'll see in a minute, the river of life is a realm you can step into and you actually are already in it. You can step into it more fully. Your spirit was designed to flow with the river of life flowing through it and to step in and cooperate with this realm and this river of life. It's a spiritual reality. It's not just a nice idea or an illustration. The realm of the spirit flows like a river. And every one of us can step into that flow very intentionally and very purposefully. So we're just going to take a little bit of time in Ezekiel 47, verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. The water was coming down from the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And he then brought me out from the north gate and led me round to this other gate, outer gate, facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. So the water flows out of the south side of the temple and then it travels east towards where the Dead Sea, the Araba, is. So right from the word go, we have that life flows out of the presence of God. The temple represents the presence of God. Jesus is the manifestation of the temple when he comes. And then the church is to be the manifestation of the corporate temple. And not only is the river meant to flow into us, but then meant to flow out from us. And it's God's presence flowing through the dry land. And then we pick up at verse 3. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits, led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000, led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. And he asked me, Son of man, do you see this? That question at the end is to get him to stop and think about it. It's a bit like Salah in the Psalms. Think about this, Ezekiel. Think about what you've just seen. Now, lots of people, you probably heard all sorts of sermons about why is it ankle deep, why is it knee deep, and da 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 da. And he doesn't explain it. My personal view is it can be applied personally, absolutely. You want to be in the river out of your depth, absolutely. But it's my view that this is a prophetic declaration of the days that are to come in the new covenant. When the water would come and it would pour through the nations into the desert of the world. But whatever the interpretation is, and it's not given anywhere actually, is that it's miraculous. It starts with a trickle, and within a mile, if you add up the cubits, it's just over a mile, it has become such a raging torrent that no one can cross. This is a miraculous outpouring of the Spirit, such as we see through Jesus, then through Pentecost, and then into our day. And personally, it is my belief that we will see in the days to come and towards the return of the Lord, such an outpouring of this river, the like of which none of us has ever experienced. We're right on the cusp of it. That's why God is awakening this new understanding, that we might carry something and be able to host a move of God and sustain it, because we are increasingly aware of our supernatural natures. It's something I believe is going to happen throughout the body of Christ, throughout the world, and is happening. But it's a promise of things to come, a bit like Ezekiel 37, where he sees the valley of dry bones, which is a prophetic declaration, about the army of God formed by the Spirit of the church, Ecclesia. So in the same way, this is a prophetic declaration of the days when the Spirit will be poured out on the earth. Then he led me back to the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah," that's where it enters the Dead Sea. "When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh." So we have this illustration, or this image of the living water, the life-giving water, coming out from the temple. And wherever it hits the salty water, in which things die, of course, it's the Dead Sea. We've got life and death operating here. And the life-giving water comes into the Dead Sea. And it's interesting what it says. My new international version says, "And the salty water there becomes fresh." What do you have that word fresh in yours? Okay, well, you might have another translation, but it's literally the word heals. The salty water is healed. It's the word Rapha, from which we get Jehovah Rapha. So we've got healing coming in. So this is way more than just nice water, bad water. This is something going on in the spirit here, which is about the healing of the waters so that they can become alive. Because wherever the water flows, in the next verse it says, there everything lives. Verse 9. So where the river flows, everything will live. And then we have trees on the edge of the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. So in other words, it's not automatic. What's interesting about this is that it's not as soon as the fresh water hits the salt water that the whole Dead Sea has changed. It's by degrees. It's a kind of replacement or displacement. The living water comes in, heals it as it goes, but there are even parts which are left salty that effectively won't receive the living water. So it's not automatic. And I think this is one of the things for all of us, as I'm going to share some stories in a moment, this realm of the Spirit and this river of life, we have to cooperate with him. And as we'll see in a minute, we have to learn to break our agreements with all areas of death and sin in our life. Because it's very hard for us to receive the Spirit of life if we're in agreement with a mindset that accepts decay, diminishment, withering in our lives. And more on that in a little bit. So this is a prophetic declaration of the movement of the, and in Revelation we see it's living water. It's not just water, it's water that's alive because it's spirit life. This is what this is prophetic of. And so what you and I here now in 2025, we are recipients, we are cooperating with, we're being filled with. Our new natures are designed, like fish, to flow and swim in this realm of life, this flow of life that's flowing by the Spirit. So a couple of, my plan is in about 10 minutes, we're going to start doing some practical Spirit stuff. Okay, but I'm still trying to set the scene. So a couple of stories. Kerry and I, we now live in Devon, and we live about 10 miles away from the coast. And we go down to a little village called Seaton on the coast. And we take our coffee and we take communion, we take our Bibles. We go and sit on the beach when the weather's nice. And we just sit and we read and we pray. Now, it's really interesting where we go, where we sit. And it's clearly it was planned by the Lord. The river Axe flows down and enters the sea at Seaton, and Sea Town. And where it hits the sea, it's about 100 yards to the right of where we sit. The flow of the fresh water from the Axe hits the sea with its waves as it comes in. So the fresh water hits the salt water. What's really interesting is there is incredible disturbance in the sea. So the water comes in, it's not nice and flat. The whole thing begins to boil. You can see the channel where the living water, the life-giving water, the fresh water enters the sea. And if you see anyone in a boat, they come along, they hit this little area, it's about 25, 30 feet wide, 30 yards wide probably, and the little boats start doing this and this and this, and then they come through it, and then they can go ahead normally. And interestingly enough, people go and fish there. The fishermen seem to know that's a good place to fish. And as you'll see in a minute, when I tell a bit more about my story on this, I felt from the word go, Lord, say, when my spirit encounters the realm of death, there is disturbance. There's great turmoil. This idea it's going to be nice and easy and everything will be simple and everything will be straightforward. But when life hits the realm of death, when the Spirit of God flows into this realm of sin and death in which we live, there is massive disturbance. Which is why people kick off because you're a Christian. Which is why people kill Jesus. Why, when Jesus comes, it's chaos in the spirit realm around him, because life is hitting darkness. Light is hitting darkness, and darkness isn't something. Darkness isn't light. I'm looking out my window now, and it's dark now. In the spirit realm, darkness isn't a nothing. Darkness is the presence of evil. So life is hitting. Light is hitting darkness. The Spirit of God is encountering powers, and life is encountering the power of sin and death. And there is turmoil. Now, some of you know that I've had fibromyalgia for 27 years. And it's been incredibly life damaging for me. It's been very, very challenging experience and very, very hard. I have only once experienced any type of healing in what we call prayer. And that was in about 2002, one evening. I was unbelievably unwell and someone prayed for me and I was instantly, within half an hour, as right as rain. But then it all came back within a couple of days. And so I know enough about life and death and the realm of life and death to know that I've never made peace with it. I've never agreed to, oh, this is my inheritance. I've always known it's not my inheritance. But it's, whilst there's been improvement, it's been a phenomenally difficult journey. And I don't have time to tell you why that is or what that's all about, but it's deep trauma held in my body from childhood experiences. And held in my brain, and held, it's literally brain damage from childhood. Now, about 6 months ago, as I'm probably this, because this whole journey of this upward call has gone to a whole new level for me in the last year. And earlier this year, I listened to someone who was speaking, and she said, you know, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And she said, there are rivers and there are geysers and there are waterfalls and there are fountains within your spirit that have the ability to heal what you, in the same way when you cut your finger, your body will heal itself. Your new nature in Christ has the ability to heal your body. And I really pricked up my ears at that point. I thought, oh, wow. So what I did was I went and sat with the Lord and began to activate my spirit nature and begin to see and begin to look and begin to wait. I said, Lord, show me what the kingdom of heaven within me looks like. Help me access these realms of healing. And it wasn't immediately, but very quickly I found myself underwater in the spirit. I was underwater. That's all I can describe. I went down deep, 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 deep into the depths. And I saw, I don't know, I wanted to put it up, but I couldn't find the right picture. How many of you ever watched Finding Nemo? Do you remember in Finding Nemo when they get in the East Australian Current? There's the sea, but then there's this current flowing within, like a tube of water flowing within the ocean. And there are all these, and there's a fantastic turtle. I mean, it's just wonderful, wonderful. It's absolutely brilliant, that scene. But it was like this, and I saw this water, this clear, pure water flowing over me and into me. All I could say was then the colour red came into the colour of the water. So the water turned, it was pure, it was red. And I sat in it. And as I did, I just rebuked the spirit of death. I said, not having this in my body anymore. And within about half an hour, I'd say about half an hour, all the symptoms had lifted off me and I started jumping around and feeling completely transformed. And I thought, I'm touching something here about the spirit realm, this dimension of life that I've only heard about. I've never stepped into anywhere like this before. Now, about probably next couple of days, symptoms came back. So I went back to the Lord in the middle of the night, because I tend to pray most effectively in the middle of the night like this. And I had an encounter with Jesus in the realm of light, and it's probably, it's one of the most clear experiences I've had. And he put his hand on my head and he said to me, I was asking him about the healing, he said, this is going to hurt. And light flooded my body and light flooded my brain and light flooded me. And I'm going to be honest with you, since that time, everything's got much, much worse. It's been really, he said it'd be painful, and it really has been. So whenever we've gone back and sat at Seton and seen the water hitting the sea, it's like, yeah, this is the disturbance, this is the turbulence. And one of the things that's been happening for me is I realize that my spirit is totally redeemed, restored, new, fresh creation, full of life. And my soul, which is, as I understand it, my spirit is connected to my body through my soul, that they're all connected. But I've still got too much death in me. And God said to me, I can't heal you immediately because that it would actually destroy you. So it's this displacement principle for Ezekiel 47. Life is coming into me and I'm receiving it and receiving it and receiving it. And bit by bit by bit, I see transformation, but it's not instant. Now, when I go into this place in the river, in this flow of life, living water, one of the things I do, it seems to switch, take everything up a notch, is I sing to it. I don't mean I sing to it, I sing with it. I sing in the spirit, in resonance. However it flows out of me in the moment, I sing to resonate with what I'm seeing. It's a way of flowing with the spirit. And I think where we're going to go tonight is I'm going to get you in a moment to stop and have a think about an area in your life where you are seeing death at work. Diminishment, decay, withering, lack, whatever it might be. It might be sickness. And I have every expectation some tonight will get instantly healed, because I'm believing for breakthrough for people that they're not going to have the journey I've had. But it's okay, because that's the one God's had me on. This realm of life we get to partner with and agree with. Now, here's a really fascinating scripture. And this, I mean, I could teach on this for ages, but because I want to get us doing this in a minute and open up for questions in just a mo. John verse 4, verse 14. This is a very well-known verse. And you see how much Jesus talks about water. But he says to the Samaritan woman, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, in reality is what it means. In reality, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, the way it's translated in the NIV sounds really a little bit flat. Because what it's literally saying is, this water that's coming into you and I will well up. The word well is probably better translated surge or leap. It's language of force, of power. And this water that we drink that's flowing in us will well upwards. Again, now this is language of upwards. He's taking us up out of the realm of death, where into the realm of eternal life. When we flow and allow the spirit of life to flow up and in us and through us as a river, and we learn to flow with him, so we've got to have flow, we've got to be able to flow in the spirit, sing in the spirit, pray in the spirit. What happens is we begin to partner with this flow and energy and force of life, and it takes us upwards into limitless life. That's part of you and I, it's part of our bread and butter spirituality, is learning to flow in the river of life as the river flows through us, and we are taken upwards out of the realm of sin and death while still living in it, and letting life manifest in us and through us in the areas where we see the desert, in the areas where we see withering, diminishment, decay, lack. I remember the first time I ever did anything like this, I was probably about 3 years into the fibromyalgia, and I remember I was on a golf course actually, and I remember I was playing on my own, and I can still remember where I was standing, and I shouted at the top of my voice. I don't know if anyone else was in earshot or around, but I didn't really care at that point. I renounce the spirit of death. And I must have repeated it about five times because I just got angry. And I think in the areas where you see diminishment, death, lack, withering, it comes by faith and it comes by partnership. But we need to stand and say, no, I'm not having. Part of what religion does and what church structures do is it gets us to accept death and we're just waiting to die and then we get released to heaven. And I have been an Anglican, I was an Anglican. You know, we used to have, in our church in Fulham, we used to have bones in the walls where dead people were buried. You know, it's just, it's a partnership between death and religion. It seems to just accept death and we'll just work with death. There's not much we can do. We'll wait till we go to heaven. And instead of pushing back against the realm of death around us, we just seem to accept it. And we're not meant to accept it. Jesus doesn't accept it. And when you realize Romans 8 verse 1, the law, power of the spirit of life has set me free from the power of sin and death. Not will, has. You know, I know that when I go to be with the Lord in glory and I have my new body, I will manifest life at a whole new level. But there's absolutely no limit to the degree I can manifest life on this earth if I'm willing to set my face towards it and see where God takes me to. It's my belief that when I come through this fibromyalgia, and I personally do not think I'm very far through from coming through it, because it's been a very long and very intentional journey. It's my belief I'm going to see people healed. to a whole nother level. I don't want just to get better. I want vengeance. I want vengeance on the enemy for the things I've been. And that vengeance for someone who's been ill is that they get a healing ministry. How about that? And I've seen people healed, but I want to see a flow of it. But my body needs to come into life more than it is right now. And that's a process, but it's a very, very powerful process and a massive learning curve.
Can I add something just quickly?
Yeah, sure.
John 4:4 is really apt because it comes before John 4:14. And it mentions that the one in us is greater than the one in the world. And almost like if you believe that and you're going for healing, you've got to know in your spirit that one you have in you is always going to destroy that little bully that wants to keep it in you. And that's all I'd like to say. I think it's so strong. Thank you.
Great word, Richard. Okay, so I want to get us praying a minute. So I'm going to go with two images. Helen's going to put up two images. The first, can you put up the picture of the river, Helen? So for those of us who need a bit of help with our imaginations, and we're imagining the river of life that is flowing into you and through you. Just take a moment right now. Along the edge of the river of life are many, many trees. So this is a really good image. But just take a moment and just go and, in your imagination, go and stand in that river. Let it flow over you. This is the river of life that's your inheritance. Just begin to activate your imagination. Lord, I just pray now just for the resonance and the frequency just to rise in this the river of life that's flowing to every one of us here tonight. Through our eyes and through our ears and through our face and into every cell of our beings, body, soul and spirit, every particle of what makes us who we are, this river of life that brings healing to every place where there's been death, this river of life that causes everything to live. Come and fill us, Lord. Come and saturate us. Now feel free just to come out of the picture and just go into your own imagery. And just allow the Holy Spirit to allow the imagery of being in water or being saturated, being in that current of living water. Just breathe and rest and enjoy and look and gaze and receive. Don't try and do anything. Life is in the water flowing into you. Okay, I'm going to come back to the big screen. That was just to sort of just dip our toe in for a moment. We're going to come back to that in a moment. The next, the imagery of Jesus is the water goes upwards. And I thought, what does water going upwards look like? And I found this clip on YouTube. And I just think it's absolutely fantastic as an image to capture our imagination of water flowing upwards. And we'll probably show it. We'll show it through once and we'll show it through it again. But so watch this. This is really remarkable, I think. Just hold a second, Helen. So mine's a bit jerky. I don't know what it was like for you, but that's you can go and look this up on YouTube. This is obviously somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I find the imagery fascinating. That water is flowing upwards. It's a wall of water flowing upwards in that circular pillar. But the water's going upwards, but it's going upwards into the light. And if you want imagery that helps you begin to kind of receive the upward flow of water in you, I've been mulling on this for the last 24 hours, and I just find it really helpful as an image to help me connect with this leaping up, this energy of life, of the spirit taking me upwards. And of course, it's upwards into the light. And I do also love that it all opens up at the top, because as you come up the ladder, if you come up Jacob's ladder, as you come up the flow, you come up into an incredible open space of the heavens, the eternal realms, which is your home. So do you want to try one more time, Helen, see if it flows a bit better? But
this portable.
You love YouTube. So you can't quite see it, but if you put it into your search engine on YouTube and you put a water flowing upwards, it's really quite remarkable because you see the whole thing flowing upwards. And it's. I found it very helpful, like in imagery, to connect with something which is actually against the natural phenomena. Water doesn't flow upwards. In any consistent flow. Okay. There you go. Helen's like so on it. Thank you, Helen. So what I'd love you to do just for a moment would be, would you stop and think, take an area where you see diminishment, lack, withering, decay, diminishment, in your life. Start with you. Start with you. Just have a think for yourself. Where do you need this living water to flow upwards in you to release and take you up into the realm of eternal life, the realm of the limitless life? So it could be health, it could be joy, it could be vision, it could be hope, it could be love. Could be strength. And what I suggest you do as you identify it is just as you pray now, just begin to say, just speak to that area and say, I'm not agreeing with death here. I'm not agreeing with this realm of sin and death. This is not my inheritance. I'm not having this anymore. I'm breaking my agreement under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm breaking its power. Just do your own agreement to break it, to not agree with it. And rebuke the spirit of death. And whatever word or language you want to use, off that this area of your life. And when you're ready, just welcome the spirit of life. Welcome the river. Where you can use your imagination. If that doesn't work so well for you, think, understand, consider the spirit, the river of life, reflect on it, and agree with its upward flow in you, leaping up, surging up into eternal life, taking you into higher realms of reality and life and heavenly life. And just welcome him, welcome the spirit, welcome the river of life, the living water to flow in you, through you, into this area where you see lack and wilderness. And just, we'll take the next 7-8 minutes, no rush. Just begin to engage and receive and agree. And see where God takes you to in the next 7 or 8 minutes, see what happens. And do try putting sound to it as we sing along in the spirit, pray along in the spirit, if that sits well with you. As you're receiving, activate faith. Begin to thank him that he's flowing, he's moving, his life is in you, his life is flowing upwards in you. And God, we thank you that you have created us to live in life. It's our home, our reality, the dimension of our spirit that is in union with you. Thank you that life is stronger than death. Thank you that death is being swallowed up by life. Thank you, Jesus, every way in your life on the earth you manifested life swallowing up death. From the feeding of the 5,000 to the water into wine, to the deliverances, to the healings, to the raising from the dead. We just thank you, Jesus. You are life bringer, life giver. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we agree together tonight as saints that our inheritance is not death, decay, diminishment, despair, lack, withering, but life, healing, hope, fullness, limitless, dimensions of life that we've not even dreamed about, which are in you. And we say in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of death and all its lies, all its agreements, all its compromises. And we say, thank you, Father, that the lids are being lifted, the glass ceilings are being broken, and you're taking us upwards, upwards, upwards into new realms of awareness, alertness, and life flowing in us and through us to a needy, broken world. And we bless you tonight that you are our life giver and our life bringer and our life transformer. Jesus, the one in whom life is fully manifested. Father, continue to shift our thinking away from all the conditioning of sin and death, into a whole new renewing of our thinking, a rewiring of our thinking and our understanding and our mindsets, that in every situation we would think life. Every challenge we'd think life. And we bless you in Jesus' name that this is our inheritance and you will teach us, Holy Spirit, the ways of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. It always feels really weird just to stop just like that, certainly from my side, having I'd love to sit and chew the fat now. Does anybody have something simple they just wanted to share out of that experience of for you, just go ahead.
So I had the most incredible experience. The sound.
Richard, if it was very special, just give us a very, don't dissipate it by sharing too quickly, but just a real highlight, Mark. Just highlight.
The sound of the waterfall I had on YouTube, and it triggered me to be on a spaceship, on a rocket going into space. And I was going up through space, and I was starting to feel dizzy because I've got a dizziness issue when I sleep. And one time it was spinning this way, then it was spinning that way, and I was feeling physically quite dizzy. And then the spacecraft got into space and I saw the Earth and I got this huge piece. And then cut it short, I then felt myself could go even higher and I went up into this light. And then I sort of tried to present this illness thing that I've had for years to God. I don't know what's going to happen, Stuart. It feels a lot worse, but I don't know. But the spinning finished as you finished. But it was just a rocket experience, not a waterfall.
Do you know what? I nearly used the rocket imagery tonight because the whole Romans 8 verse 1 is you and I can't get out of the gravitational pull of sin and death and, without being rescued. And the rocket ship is one I've used because it has the power to break out of the gravitational pull. We've been lifted up through the resurrection. The resurrection is the rocket ship that lifts us up. We're raised with Christ far above. That's the imagery in that. That's the biblical. So, brilliant. Thank you, Richard. Anybody else wanted to share simply? I think for all of us, it's not giving up. Keep going. Keep going. You don't have to have, you know, if this stuff makes sense to you, if you understand that we're activating spiritual realities through faith and imagination and understanding, and we're locating ourselves in the new rather than accepting the old. No one's pretending this is easy. This is not easy stuff. We're so conditioned to religion and to the ways of the earth that this is really challenging stuff. You know, and I think that the way to life is still a narrow gate and a hard road because it's challenging to the flesh, this stuff, because our flesh is so attached to the realm of sin and death. So to go into the realm of the spirit and to come into our new natures is not easy. It's a massive turnaround, and you probably aren't getting taught the stuff in church. So it's like, it's so new for most of us. So bless you. But someone said, I prefer to be an amateur in the new than a professional in the old. So if you've got a willingness to be an amateur in the new, let's keep going. And God bless you. See you in October, or maybe see you at Impact Day on Saturday if you're able to come. And thanks for being on the Zoom tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Stuart. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Stuart.
God bless you.
See you soon.
To everyone.
Thank you. God bless everyone.
Bye.